No Going Back to Coolidge Corner, written and narrated by Charles Rammelkamp. My favorite line in Singin' in the Rain, when Lena Lamont says, "What do you think I am, dumb or something? I make more money than Calvin Coolidge. Put together!" Didn't Babe Ruth say something like that about Coolidge? It was Hoover. Some reporter chided him for demanding $80,000 a year salary. "That's more than Hoover gets for being President of the United States." To which Ruth replied, "What the hell has Hoover got to do with this? Anyway, I had a better year than he did." What was Hoover's salary? $75,000. But no, to answer your question, David, Coolidge Corner is not named after Calvin Coolidge. It was named after a 19th century local businessman named David Coolidge. On the other hand, JFK was born nearby on Beale Street, so Brookline does boast a president. Ah! I stand corrected. It seemed obvious Coolidge, a former lieutenant governor and then governor of Massachusetts before he became vice president and then president when Harding died. But not the case, huh? The reason I was wondering is I lived in an apartment on Beacon Street in Brookline, not far from Coolidge Corner, when I was a graduate student at BU. When was that? Oh, God, Mark. It's been over 40 years now. And you've never been back? Never been back. Your brother Al lived there, too. No? He did. I met him once. Sorry about his passing. And now you're writing a biography of Calvin Coolidge? Silent Cal. Another Coolidge joke I seem to remember was somebody approaching him at a party and saying her cousin had bet her that Cal probably wouldn't speak more than two words to her, and Cal replied, "Yeah, you lose. Yeah, I've heard that story." Did you hear the one about the time he and his wife were shown around an experimental farm? Not sure. How does it go? Grace Coolidge, his wife, noticed that a rooster in the chicken yard was mating very frequently with the hens. She asked the attendant how often that happened, and her guide told her dozens of times each day. So Grace tells the guide, "Tell that to the president." Oh yeah, I've heard it. When Coolidge came by the hen house himself, the guide dutifully told him what his wife had said, and Cal asked, "Same hen every time?" Right. And when the guide told him it was a different one each time, Cal said, "Tell that to Mrs. Coolidge." Sounds like he had a subtle sense of humor, even if he was a bore. Or, well, laconic, right? But why Coolidge? Can't say. I'm actually writing a biography of Coolidge. More like I'm curious about him and just researching. There's this college in Michigan called Hillsdale that has a shooting range on its campus and statues of Reagan and Thatcher. They're promoting something called the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum, which starts with the premise that America is an exceptionally good country. Remember when Trump got all bent out of shape by the New York Times 1619 project by Nicole Hannah Jones that put slavery front and center in American history? He wanted something more simplistic to promote. Patriotic education, flag-waving propaganda, indoctrination, really. So I set up this commission with the president of Hillsdale leading the charge. George Washington looms large, the story about the cherry tree and all that, and it encourages teachers to have kids read and memorize the poem Paul Revere's Ride, stuff like that. Wow, sounds like DeSantis's Stop Woke Act in Florida. That snowflake law that forbids instruction that could make someone feel guilty or ashamed about past actions by other members of the same race, color, sex, or national origin. DeSantis got rid of the people in charge at the new college and put in stooges, including a dean at Hillsdale. DeSantis' chief of staff, a guy named Utmeyer, said he hoped the campus would become the Hillsdale of the South. Wow. So anyway, it turns out that this 1776 curriculum also promotes Coolidge, a speech he made in 1926 called The Inspiration of the Declaration of Independence, in which he praised the whole notion of everybody being created equal, and that ends that. These people cite that as evidence that the USA has always been this great place for everybody. But I'm just wondering if Cal isn't being co-opted by these people. He was the original small government Republican, it's true, and Reagan admired him. But just like the Republicans are always twisting King's line about judging a man by the quality of his character and not the color of his skin to show they aren't really racists, I wonder if something like that isn't going on here, too. Still, Coolidge is hardly up there with Martin Luther King when it comes to national heroes. Yeah, I know. Calvin who? The business of America is business. Right, the thing he's known for having said. But did you know that his son, Calvin Jr., died while he was preparing to run for president in 1924? It was right around the time of his birthday. Coolidge was the only president born on Independence Day, July 4th. The Democratic Convention was going on in New York at the time. You think Kevin McCarthy taking 15 votes to become Speaker of the House was bad? It took 103 ballots to nominate John Davis. Meanwhile, Calvin Jr. got a blister on his toe while he was playing tennis, and it turned into staph, and then sepsis, and he died July 7th. He was only 16 years old. Antibiotics could have treated the infection, but Alexander Fleming wouldn't discover penicillin for another 4 years. Wow, just like Lincoln. Yeah, it really crushed Coolidge, of course, but he ran for president and won in a landslide. But when he decided not to run again in 1928, in his autobiography, he confesses that when his son died, the glory of the presidency went with him. But Coolidge Corner, that started this whole thing, did it? Yeah, you were asking about the origin of the neighborhood name. It sounded important to you. Well, maybe it's like Coolidge after all, Mark. My brother and I had a big blowout over something so inconsequential in a deli on Harvard Street. I can't even remember what it was. And then we quarreled ever after that. We were just starting to reconcile when Al got sick. And then he died. And I realized we could never get past that ever. There's no going back. I'm not ever going back.